Hello, fellow youths. I'm Kathy.
I'm Audrey.
I'm Nicole.
And today we are talking about The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina by...
I'm going to make you do this.
Roberto
Aguirre
Sicasa.
Roberto Aguirre Sicasa.
And Robert Hack.
Good job, you
no
got the
problem
second
with that one.
Sometimes your whiteness just comes shining through like a beacon.
Yeah, I mean, it probably doesn't help that I'm bad at like words in general if I haven't had practice with them.
Which is evident in our first episode where you pronounce
can't
Leia's
say
name,
anyone's
like,
name.
Yeah,
I think we pronounced it 8 different ways in that episode, so it's really more free form.
Yeah, it's fine. Okay. Everything's fine.
So we always, it says inside of the book on the outline, but why don't we just give us, what do you think? Your own summary.
So, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina is kind of a comic book reboot of Sabrina the Teenage Witch, which many people may remember if you were old enough, I guess, from the 90s.
Or you
90s
have,
sitcom?
Yeah, or reruns.
Yeah, thousands. Or reruns. Yeah, thousands.
Melissa Joan Hart.
Yeah. So, the reboot is definitely a little more adult and darker. It's
based on the books, I think, because there were original books that were very different from the TV show.
There were Archie comic books that the TV show was then based on. So it's like kind of similar in like form and like the loose scaffolding of the story. And Sabrina lives with her two aunts who are also witches and goes to regular normal mortal high school. So a lot of the action centers around the tension between like being a teenager but then also dealing with magic. But this one is a lot more it goes straight down the horror genre, like, pretty solidly. So the first character is obviously Sabrina, who's a half witch, technically. Her father is a witch, and her mother is a mortal named Diana. Sabrina has lived most of her life with her aunt, her aunts Hilda and Zelda, because her, in this book, her family is super fucked up.
Oh, yeah. Evil. Basically just pure evil.
It's great. Yeah. Her dad is turned into a tree for who knows what reasons.
Breaking some rules for something. I don't know.
Lol, I'm a tree now.
After he has some unnamed surgery happen on her mom for trying to keep Sabrina.
Oh, it wasn't unnamed. It was a lobotomy, bruh.
I mean, they didn't say it exactly, but there was like definitely like a little nice little like forehead scar.
A huge
that was
scar,
pretty
and she's like singing la di da da because she's just completely out of it.
Yep,
she knows nothing. So at the very least, they did some stuff to her brain.
Yep, and they did it because Sabrina's mom was unable to conceive, and so like she made a deal with Edward, the Spellman family, that they would fix her so she could have children, but she'd have to give the first child up to the witches for them to raise, and that's Sabrina. But at the last minute, she's like, nah, and like tries
and
to run into the woods.
And decides that running into the woods with a baby
will
is going to work
her problems.
From a coven of witches. And guess how that works out for her.
She doesn't.
At the same time, she doesn't have much going for her.
I get it.
I mean, yeah, I understand, but you're just like, oh, bad choice there.
Yeah, like, or like maybe you should have thought of it a teeny bit sooner.
Yeah, like planning ahead.
The night of?
Just hang out in your local church, get real tight with that community.
Like 9 months while your baby's in there, you're like, you know, maybe I won't give you up to be murdered.
Maybe I shouldn't live in this isolated
house
in the woods.
Maybe I'll just move.
Yeah.
Which she doesn't.
So that's how Sabrina comes to live with her aunts, Hilda and Zelda. I think right now in this book, they're kind of, like, interchangeable. Like, they have, like, slightly different characteristics. I think Hilda's more, like, motherly, and Zelda's more, like, cutthroaty. But
I don't know. I couldn't honestly tell you which one was Hilda and which one was Zelda. There's the glasses one, and there's the not glasses one.
Yeah, glasses is Hilda.
I think Zelda's supposed to be more strict and rulesy, and Hilda's supposed to be more, like, feelingsy, but in a book where everybody's pure evil, their actions aren't that different because they're both willing to totally murder anybody.
Yeah, definitely.
But their approach to raising Sabrina is maybe the only difference, where they, like, treat her slightly differently.
Yeah. I think that I'm hoping as the series goes on, they have, like, more character development. This is just the first 6 issues of the comic collected, so it would be cool if they had more stuff.
The next character is Salem, who, I'm going to be honest, I was really disappointed in this Salem. He's not the sassy sidekick that we get in the TV show.
He's barely in it. He says a couple things, but not much.
And he's, like, encouraging. He's, like, a good
Yeah, he's like person? Weirdly, yeah, like
cat.
I guess it's supposed to be because everything's reversed. So Salem, instead of being like punished for being an evil warlock, which I think was the original premise mm-hmm. of the TV show, he's being punished for being too good, and they turned him into a cat and like are keeping him. I can't quite remember, but I think mm-hmm. it's the opposite. Where like he was good, so they punished him, and that's why he's a little milquetoast and a little boring in this one.
All yeah, I know is that
disappointing.
I really identified with Sabrina when they were like, "We got you a present." She's like, "Is it a puppy?" And then nah. she's like, "Oh, it's a talking cat. Fuck this shit." Lame.
I have hope though, because the next like series arc is supposed to be called That Damned Cat.
So hopefully
we get some more Salem being sassy. Fingers crossed.
Maybe that's why he wasn't in it that much. Maybe they're building up to it. That would be nice.
Yeah.
Because I'd love to know more about Salem's backstory and like how he got here in their made up world.
Yeah, I thought he said something about like trying to reenact the Book of Revelations.
Yeah, it was kind of in an offhanded, like jokey way.
Yeah.
So it didn't give me enough details for me to. And also, I don't know shit about the Book of Revelations, but
it's the part where Jesus shows up.
Okay, so apocalyptic.
For the second time, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, so I don't really know, but I'm hoping that they'll get more into Salem's backstory later, and also
definitely.
That he'll just get more interesting. He creeps around the background of this book a lot. He's mm-hmm. in it, but doesn't say a ton.
Yeah.
Follow your heart, Sabrina.
Yeah, that's great advice.
He's the voice off in the distance going, follow your heart. Useless.
God, he's fucking lame. Anyway, and then there's Ambrose, who is a completely, in my opinion, unnecessary character where they're yeah. like, look at this British cousin
this
she has who
good.
Lives in her
Remind
attic.
Me who the hell Ambrose is?
Her cousin that lives in the
yeah. Ah, I remember. Oh, yeah.
With the two snakes.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure why he's
useless
in there.
Dude. He's in there, but he's kind of like her like bestie. He's just yeah. there for her to chat shit out with.
I think
maybe he's there for dialogue because it's a comic book.
Yeah, and he's also there. He like is her gateway into like less responsible magic in a way.
Yeah.
He like gives her the first potion she uses is like a love potion on Harvey.
So he's like the classic bad like influence.
Yeah.
Like he comes and leans against the doorway in his leather jacket and is like, you want to see something cool.
Yep. And he's like 18. So he's like a fully initiated warlock, but he is still like young enough to be like close to Sabrina's age. So yeah. That's what he is.
Oh, yeah. And well, this might be jumping ahead, but they're building up to something. It's important that Sabrina's, 15 going on 16? Because it's a big
yeah.
part of the book.
Yep.
And then there's
Harvey Kinkle.
Not a health condition. Not something you get on your back that
yeah.
you have a doctor
just
check out.
The
not
most
like
handsome
a specific
boy
kind
in
of
school.
Acne. Just the most handsome boy in school. Harvey Kinkle.
God. Who is, we'll later discuss, is under a love spell from Sabrina. And is that rape?
Who knows? Because she's not super moral. And to be honest, I was like, yeah, that's how the evil
yeah.
version of Sabrina would do it. She wouldn't do all the like, I hope he notices me and loves me,
yep.
like bullshit from the TV show. She's like, okay, I got a potion. I got the guy. Bam, he loves
got
me.
It. Yep.
Done.
Whoop, whoop.
Who's got time for this?
There's a little loophole in it. He says like something like this potion won't work unless it's meant to be or something. So like
yeah.
if Harvey was like totally repulsed by Sabrina, I don't think it would work. But it's still definitely solidly morally questionable.
He's a teenage boy. Like,
yeah, that's true.
He's not going to be repulsed
female,
by
so.
An attractive young female girl.
They
yep.
make it look like it's almost choice-ish because they're like, there's a large period afterwards where there's this dead silence after her spell where she's like, it didn't work. Oh, no. But it's comic book, so that was like one page.
Yeah.
And then he shows up and is like, you want to go do something later? So they try to make it feel voluntary, but it's not.
Yeah.
I completely
coercion.
Missed that.
I think it was really,
yeah,
really
it was like
fast.
Really briefly.
It was right
like,
after
oh.
she did the spell, and then there's a bit where he was saying, you know, it'll only work if it's meant to work, and
mm-hmm.
then that very tiny moment of suspense where they were like, will it work? And everyone's
mm-hmm.
like, yeah, it's gonna
yeah.
it's gonna work.
Yeah.
And
okay,
then
yeah,
Harvey
it's,
pops up.
It's literally one cell.
It's one. That's
it's
how comics
literally
work.
Sabrina
it's
being
one
like,
cell.
He didn't show up outside my window with a boombox playing a song. He doesn't love
he
me.
He doesn't love me. Yep, and then he did show up, and she was like, okay, phew.
We're good.
It's all working out. I've got my drool zombie boyfriend, and who's next? Harvey Kinkle.
Oh.
Oh, Veronica and Betty from Archie, who are inexplicably in this comic series because the guy had written another comic series about them and was like, do you know what would be cool if we put them in this comic series, too?
Well,
so
Sabrina shows up in the other comic series, too.
And
to be honest,
I looked it up,
to be
and
fair.
I thought I read somewhere, though, I'm sure people who actually have read Archie comics and other things from this actual world will be able to correct me, but I read somewhere that Greendale and Riverdale are right next to each other. Like, they take
yeah.
place in the same universe, and that's why they ended up overlapping. Like, I thought they were just thrown in there because the guy liked Archie, but I guess technically it would make sense because
mm-hmm.
they, in, like, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, the city,
yeah.
like, next to it is supposedly Riverdale, and that's where mm-hmm. Archie and Veronica and everyone. So that's why those characters showed up, but, like, what they didn't have to be in there.
God.
No,
yeah,
they did. They were definitely put in there just for funsies and because this author's super into that.
Well, he
particular
writes
world.
Archie, so
he loves the world.
Oh, he writes God. It.
I think they at least made them not boring. They're
yeah,
also
they
evil
okay.
witches.
Yeah,
yeah, they're like casual witches on the side.
They're just
they
there
get,
to fuck stuff up.
Yeah, they get recruited by Madame Satan, who's the big villain in this series. And she like starts this like renegade coven with them, essentially, and mm-hmm. essentially for so that she can control them and make them do her bidding.
Yeah, she definitely kind of blackmails them into it because she's evil and violent.
Yeah.
But they don't realize she's like a demon that they've raised, and they don't realize that
they realized.
They didn't.
They were
yeah,
hoping
you're
that
right.
she just
were,
went away.
Yes. They didn't realize that she was like they were gonna have to deal with her again.
Yep.
Basically, they pop up. In, like, the first time you see them, they're hiding behind a tree in the woods with Madame Satan being, like, born behind them from whatever crazy spell they did. And they're like, oh, shit, we gotta get out of here.
Because
like,
they're trying to make Archie love one of them.
Yeah.
Which is just, like, so, this is the most, like, high school petty shit ever. Like, two young girls are just like, I'm gonna make this boy like me by doing this other stuff on the side that'll never come back to haunt me later in some other shape or form.
They do a good job of combining like teenage bullshit drama and like the stuff you'd expect from Archie and the stuff you'd expect from Sabrina, where like Sabrina's problems are similar, they're almost the same, but like she's like, I want Harvey to love me and I'm turning 16 and that's tough, but like it's because I've used a love potion, I don't know if that's moral, and it's because I'm turning 16 and will officially become like evil and put my name in the book of evil. So it's, and Betty and Veronica is the same. We're like, they're evil witches. They've got all this power. They could do anything. And still their main worry is Archie, who you never see because he doesn't matter. But like, I think that's part of what's funny about the book. And that's why they do it, where they're like, it's, you know, they're evil, but it's still the same. It's all the same. They'd just be using their powers for evil, not good.
Wait, don't we see Archie here?
Oh, God, like we panel. See the side of his face coming out of a school
a bus
somewhere.
Yeah.
Jughead also looked weird to me. Is he
in there?
I
think it's just
he's
art.
Right there.
Yeah.
So you see them for 5 seconds. So you do see them, technically, but, like, they're not, clearly, they don't matter. We won't list them in
no
the characters
because
they don't matter. Yeah, Veronica and Betty have lines. They're just supposed to be, like, so that they have the same weird, it's the comparison between the normal teenage stuff and the, like, you can't even decide what they're like evil
occult world.
Evil like cult stuff. It's the like comparison between them is what makes the book so funny because they're happening right side by side and it's dark. This book gets dark and like horrible stuff happens, but it's still like they still segue back to teenagers doing teenager stuff. So it's nice. It's got that weird vibe from Sabrina a little bit.
So I guess that's why you should read this graphic novel.
I'm sorry, I rambled
a bit.
That's
okay.
Yes, yes. You should read this because I really like how it's like, you can relate to it in a way, but like they take all the common problems of like, I just want this boy to love me, and they take him to dark, scary places, which I tend to, as a person who loves horror movies, and I'm a person who likes the horror genre in general, I really dug this book, but maybe just because there was lots of murder in it. I was in it for the murder.
How about you, Kathy? Why should people read this book?
I actually didn't like the book.
You didn't like it?
Okay.
I know.
Tell us why.
Okay. And I think you should read this book if you don't read the introduction, because that is what completely destroyed it for me. I was so ready to love this book. I loved the opening art from the Crucible issue that they had with like the skull and Sabrina and all these things. And I was like, I could get that tattooed. This is going to be so sick.
I'm so ready to be obsessed.
And then you read the introduction and it's by Roberto Aguirre Sacasa, you know, the author of the book. And he talks about how this is inspired by Sandman. And I just love Sandman so much, and it is so goddamn good that the fact, like, this, there's no, like, I was expecting it to live up to it, and there's, like, no way that could possibly have done that, so I was just incredibly let down over the course of the book. And when I finished it, I actually wondered, like, how would I have taken this if I didn't have that whole, like, setup of Sandman going into it, because there's so many things, like, I think Madame Satan is one of the, like, only good characters in the book. They're all kind of hollow and just like flat, and they don't have that background. I don't know, it's just not
well
it
it's also
have
6 episodes instead of like 12 books.
I try to remember,
but
it's a comic.
I mean,
and
but even like
less.
Comparing this to the first book of Sandman, like, which is people say is like not as great as the other ones, like they had one issue where they first introduced Death, and she was just such a well-rounded and fantastic character. And I'm like, the fact that you have 6 issues, and I don't really know anything about Sabrina other than she can't have sex with her boyfriend and she has white hair. Like, it's just, it's kind of, there's so much you could do that they haven't done. Like we said, Ambrose, he's a throwaway character. The ants, you can't really tell them apart. They're not that fleshed out. Like, I don't know. I feel like they're trying to do too much and it's not working out. So, but it could be so good. You guys should probably still read it to see if you could argue with me and like fight back.
I didn't read the introduction at all, so maybe that's why I had no comparisons, and I just knew I knew what it was supposed to be to begin with. It was just supposed to be Sabrina the Teenage Witch, but awful and scary, and it totally sold what it was trying to sell me. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I wasn't comparing it to like a comic that I deeply love, so that will definitely make a lot of difference.
I don't know. I feel bad. Like, oh, there's Archie again. Not even, once again, not speaking. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, I don't know. Even Madame Satan, like, she's just like, oh, this guy took me on a date to the zoo and then broke up with me. Time to throw myself into lions. Like, it's just like.
Yeah, if you're looking for, like, good motivations, maybe this is not the book for you.
I did like, because I had read before that, like, you know, Harvey's supposed to die off really early on in the series, and that happens here.
Yep.
Surprise, spoiler alert.
That's okay. That's one of my favorite parts. We can talk about that later.
Yeah, we're definitely going to talk about that. One of the smartest things this book does, let's be honest. So I...
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Sorry, okay. I just like trampled your book. No, see, this is why we have this moment. We can get each of our opinions. I loved this. Kathy didn't love it so much.
I liked it a lot. I thought it did a good job of being a horror comic book. I think I can see... I also read the introduction, and the thing I focused on was that it's also inspired by movies like Rosemary's Baby and The Exorcist and The Omen. And having seen those, I thought it did a good job of capturing that kind of like uneasy occult sense throughout the whole thing. I also didn't think that they were trying to be like Sandman 2.0. I thought it was more of the way that like Sandman pushed the boundaries in terms of like adult content and like violence also.
Mm-hmm.
And so like this is a pretty like gory book where a lot of like really tough shit happens in it.
And the art is fantastic.
The art's really great.
That's actually what I was going to ask, if you disliked the book but how you felt about the art separately, since it's a comic.
That opening art I talked about, like I would still consider, like I was so disappointed I didn't like it because I'm like, that would be such a fucking badass tattoo. Like it's just so great.
So I liked it for what it was doing. I mean, I think to some extent you're trapped. Like, I mean, I knew also that this was the guy that wrote the Archie series. So I wasn't expecting it to be, like, mind-blowing the way that the Sandman can be sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it delivered what I thought it was going to deliver, which was that it was, like, high school plus horror. Mm-hmm. And it did that really well.
That makes sense. I can see that.
With, like, that as my expectation, I was like, all right, cool.
So read this book if your expectations are nice and low.
If you're not expecting Sandman 2.0.
My expectations for everything are always terrible. Like, I liked all those Transformer movies. I liked them all. Yep. I'll just come out and say it. So, like, if I say I like something, it's not a super ringing endorsement, but I liked it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was enjoyable. Yeah. So
I enjoyed it, and I also know what to expect from teen things, like, versus adult graphic novels.
Mm-hmm.
And just like, especially what to expect from Sabrina, any amount of edginess was more than I would have expected from Sabrina, because it's a real really like preppy, pleasant show.
Especially comparing it to the TV show, where it's like it's a sitcom, like it's all fluffy and light and like
awkward situational humor.
Exactly.
And you know what? Maybe they carried over kind of the boringness of the characters into this, because they don't have much more development there either, but it's even more boring because they're just for good. That's their thing. They're like, we like good, and we want you to be good, and everybody be good. At this one, at least, like, they weren't that developed, but, like, that's interesting what she just did. It's terrible. Let's think about it. Or, like, at least they'd be willing to murder someone and make it interesting.
Yeah, it was like...
That's all I ask. All I ask is for someone to get murdered.
Someone needs to die.
And then I close the book and I'm like, perfect. You nailed it.
Compared to the TV show, I liked it a lot more, probably particularly as an adult. It just also seemed like a more honest appraisal of like what it would be like kind of what high school is like. Like there's definitely like, I thought it was believable in terms of like a horror movie like a horror comic book about people in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you gave high schoolers occult powers, like I feel like this is pretty on track to what would happen.
Yeah, like shit would go sideways for sure.
Yeah.
Like, somebody would accidentally raise an evil demon in the middle of the fucking woods and it would definitely go kill somebody. Can you imagine, even as like sensible people, I like to believe the three of us are sensible.
Yeah.
I feel like if we'd gotten some kind of like book and powers in high school, oh, we'd have messed so much shit up.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a lot of power.
Kathy's
to have.
Nodding. She knows.
Oh yeah, like we got the internet. Think about it.
Like, yes,
like
true.
We like internet culture became like a completely mainstream thing right when we were hitting middle school. Yeah. And just imagine all the shit that happened. Just like take a second to think off into the distance and then you're just like, oh, fuck. So
it's funny you should mention that because actually the stuff that when you were saying how like all the high school situations there, it is very, what's the word I'm looking for? It makes you think like it's very satisfactory, like when you read it and she uses her powers for like basic high school problem solving, but exactly the way that you would have wanted to use them when you were a kid, like so irresponsible. Because there's a great one where, actually this isn't in high school yet, she's in middle school and there's a girl who made fun of her, some girl who was bullying her. And she goes home to tell Hilda and Zelda, and I think Hilda does it, like the nice one, does exactly what I would, like in school you would love to have happened. She goes and she fucks that little girl up. Like she doesn't actually hurt her.
What does she do? She turns into a giant spider.
Yeah, yeah, she basically chases her down the street with, oh yeah, as a giant spider. And she's like, you should play nice. And then turns into a giant spider and traumatizes her for life. And it was one of those moments of like, this could only happen in this comic book. Like, it's one of those situations where they take really basic situations and half the fun is not that they deal with it like, well, ask your teacher and here's how people handle things. Yeah. They're like, okay, I'm going to turn into a giant spider and you're not going to be a bitch anymore, okay?
Yep.
And it was so satisfying.
I did love the scene where she's a little kid and she has a tantrum because her dad doesn't show up to her birthday party because he's a tree. And he just,
and that's when you find out he's a tree. Yeah. It's really dark.
And like,
the tree face where he's like,
he's
all
just
messed
like
horribly like,
in pain, just like like grotesquely grimacing.
Another example of really good artwork.
Yeah,
they do
I love
a good job of the artwork.
But like, she's like using her telekinetic powers to make all this stuff in the room like fly around the room, and her aunts are in the room and they're like, what did we tell you about using telekinesis for tantrums?
Mm-hmm. Not in the house.
Don't do this here. And I'm just like, this is great. This is great.
Yep. Yeah. That's the exact right amount of parenting. They're letting her figure out her surroundings. Go outside and murder people. Just don't do it in here.
Yep. Exactly. It was, I mean, I think it was for what it was, like, and not expecting it to be like something phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I think it was good.
Maybe it really is the expectations that'll ruin it for you, because I was not expecting it. I wasn't expecting anything. I just requested it. It came and I was like, this looks murdery. I like. And then I read through it and I was like, it was murdery. Perfect.
I like this.
And like I said, I got so into the artwork that like that was all it took to creep me out, and all I wanted was the creep out factor. Mm-hmm. And this book has it. It's good and spooky, but like, you know, teen spooky.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I don't know if you guys read that, but the guy that wrote and colored it, that was the first time he did an entire, like, comic book by himself for both, like, the guy that drew it. Like, that was the first time he did an entire comic book.
That's impressive, but not super shocking, because can I tell you, when I was reading it, it occurred to me, motion looks weird in this book. People moving is occasionally drawn weird. Like, people look, basically, it looks like he does really good, like, portraits, and, like, if people are stationary, those pictures are so good, but, like, as soon as they're running, it's almost like they're stationary, but their hair is moving. He, like, I can tell.
Yeah, but I think it works, because it gives the book, like, this weird, like, almost dreamlike quality, or, like,
it's really messy.
It, like, divorces it from our reality more, which like is part of why I think it's such good horror, because like, at no point am I afraid that this is going to happen to me.
Yeah,
which for me is an important thing to have happen for me to enjoy horror.
Yeah, especially like, at night by yourself.
Yes,
real creepy.
Mm-hmm. So like part of the reason I liked this book was because it seemed like totally divorced from our world. So that was like comforting. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I think it was good too, because like blood is drawn differently. There's all the like blurry, messy bits, but then the blood is like bright and really easy to see. It made scary bits scarier too, because like the figures are just wavy enough that you can use your imagination.
And he has like it's really creepy drawings, but he does it. It's a really good book.
The
overall
artwork fits the book.
Yeah,
well, definitely.
And the coloring too. I like the color palette he used. There's a lot of like gray backgrounds and everything is kind of like cloudy. It's almost like it's like orange, yellows, and like reds.
Really bright, like blood reds. Mm-hmm. Madame Satan wears a blood red dress I'm seeing right now. Her dress is blood red, and also I've turned to a great page where just she's leaning over a fence and her tits are out.
Yeah.
They've just fallen right out of her dress.
Harvey.
Pretty much. Very Madame Satan.
That's where she's trying to fuck up Harvey's like football game.
Oh, and so he totally misses the ball.
Yeah,
I forgot.
Because he's staring at her boobs.
That does
Harvey
make sense.
Kinkle.
Hey. Oh, but you know what?
What do you mean, hey?
He's doing the best he can, okay?
He's like a planter's wart. I don't know.
He's really boring. That's the thing. That's why I was like really excited when they were going to kill him off. Because I was like, he's so dull. And in the TV show,
he's the worst.
Right? It's gotten to the point where I barely remember who he was.
I re-looked up pictures and I was like, that's what you look like.
Yeah.
It's just like not even.
He's just so interesting.
Generic.
It's very generic, handsome.
He's you the could Scotty replace, of this book.
He's like the neighborhood boy. That's like the most boring person that you could end up with.
And the only thing that makes it interesting is that he gets totally sacrificed.
Yes. That was like such a smart move for them to make, because I think he's like the worst part of like the TV show is how long Sabrina obsesses over Harvey and like how hard she works to end up with Harvey after I looked it up and it's like 7 seasons.
Well, they had to drag it out. They can't just be done after 1 season. Then what would you watch?
I guess, but it just like I just remember watching that show and like being tired of Harvey. So when they killed him off within the first 6 issues, I was like,
yes,
such a smart choice. Like, this could only get better from here, because like freed of Harvey, Sabrina has like room to like spread her wings and become like a giant evil witch that will kill everyone.
Maybe this is all just like evil fan fiction, because all the things that I want to happen are happening like really well. And that actually is the point I decided that I loved this book, that bit where they were like, are you praying yet? Like that really scary bit where they're like, pray for Harvey Tinkle tonight.
Yep.
Oh, it was
break
so good.
The fourth wall.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Oh, and then the part where, we'll talk about it later, but the part where Harvey, quote unquote, resurrected Harvey finally calls Sabrina, and it's really her dad.
Oh,
we're going to get
that?
We're going to get there.
No, I'm sure. See, the thing is, I read it a little while ago, and I haven't reread recently, but I'm trying to remember
what
to separate
happened.
It all. Yes.
Yeah.
Don't worry. We'll get there,
we'll
and you
get
can
there.
Remind me what happened, and I'll get real excited.
So then I guess my next thing is, since I didn't know that, like, Greendale and Riverdale were actually right next to each other and stuff, they've just redone the Archie TV show to Riverdale. Do you think they're going to make a new Sabrina?
God, I hope not, but they might.
I don't think so.
I
mean,
well,
it depends how well that show goes, right?
True.
I would never have expected them to remake Archie in the first place, which they've just remade to be, like, the usual hot teenager show you see on the CW where,
dark
like, everyone's
gritty.
Real sad. And Archie, like, is just a sad boy. And everyone's real sad. That's
just
literally
a sad boy.
Like, I think the beginning someone dies or something. It's really, like, if you've seen the commercial for Riverdale, it's bleak.
I haven't seen anything
Maybe
it'd
be more
it.
Interesting than the actual sitcom.
Who killed Archie Palmer?
That would be more interesting.
I genuinely would watch that.
Yeah.
It makes me want
Murder
to watch.
Murder mystery. Show it to me.
It makes me want to watch Riverdale just to, like, compare, because now I'm seeing so many different interpretations of this world. And before, my experience was reruns of Sabrina, which I never watched actively. Like, it wasn't my thing. I think my cousin did, and so I know a lot about it. But I never watched Sabrina actively. And Archie comics, which used to be everywhere, but now I don't see them anywhere.
I never liked the Archie comics, so I never read them. But my father wouldn't let me watch Buffy, so I got Sabrina, which is like
shit
the saddest, like, I know, the
that
saddest
really
trade.
Is. That I'm sorry for your loss.
Yeah.
I know. I feel like I would be a much bigger Buffy fan if I had watched on TV, but I distinctly remember, like, that show starting and my dad being like, we're not watching this, and turning it off.
Too many leather bustiers.
Probably.
No.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so speaking, I guess, of high school norms, I'm going to say this book has some really, like, you guys said it does a good job of capturing, like, a lot of the teenage angst, which I agree, like, this is what would happen with,
or at least setting it up. It, like, kind of plants the seed, but then takes it in way creepier directions.
Yeah. But at the same time, I'm like, people are really fucking weird in this story. Like, the weirdest, like, when she meets Rosalind, the girl who comes, when she comes in the school as the new girl, and she's just like, hi, so your parents are dead? Like, who the fuck says that besides Audrey? But
yeah, we're
what?
All.
What? Did I? Oh, shit, I did do that.
Orientation.
So your parents are dead. What's that like? Okay, so weird comic book people are awkward. Awkward sausages like Audrey.
Just like me, I guess.
And I just really wanted to see more about Rosalind. I just wanted to get more character development, because right now everyone seems really, like, flimsy in this.
Yeah, everyone's kind of like high school stereotypes. Like, Rosalind's the, like, other popular girl that's, like, bitchier than the protagonist.
Who apparently is also her friend, but we don't really get to see that ever again.
Yeah.
Because they, like, mention, like, beware of her, but it's like, no, I don't.
Well, after that, they're, like, enemies, right? That's what I got. That, like, after that first, like, weird friendship overture, she was like, nah. And then they were enemies. Because she took Harvey. And Rosalind was going to date Harvey.
We don't even know if they're friends or enemies or frenemies, because it was so paltry in this book.
I almost wish we'd started further into the series. Like, I don't know how much more has already come out, but, like, I wish we'd read more so we could determine if this lack of character development is because the book was busy setting stuff up, or if it's because they're just in which case gonna bother. Just
go slower.
Yeah.
Like, I would not have minded getting more over, like, the development of all this stuff.
Yeah, you probably could have, like, stretched, or not stretched, but, like, if you put more substance into the characters, like, turned this into, like, a 12 issues, at least.
I think they could have at least just taken some people out. You're right. Yeah. Like, they could have just pulled out some of those characters that were non-characters. Again, though, I don't know if what they're doing is setting the stage with all these characters that have no backstory yet, and then they'll go through, because, like I said, the next one's called That Darn Cat. Obviously, they'll, I hope, talk more about Salem. So maybe they'll be slowly going through it. Interesting book structure versus comic book structure. It's harder to tell.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so TBD, to be determined how good the character development will be in future books. But for this book, we will say if we're looking at this as like one thing, not that awesome.
Yeah.
Not stellar.
I don't know. Like, I read Multiversity, which is a bunch of different things by, oh my God, I'm blanking on his name.
Not Alan Moore. Grant Morrison.
Grant Morrison, thank you. Oh, my God. And it's, like, he even took, like, each thing was, like, a single issue, and he set up the characters so much. I don't know. I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed, Roberto.
Oh, Roberto.
I'm sorry. I hate being mean.
No, you're not being mean. It's just your opinion.
Constructive criticism.
Yeah.
Except, you know, my opinion is fact.
Well, aside from that,
well, and I think the stuff that, like, you're looking for isn't stuff that, like, I mean, I think the same. Like, I think the characters are pretty flimsy, but I'm interested in, like, the other parts of the book and the way that it's, like, exploring high school through this, like, lens of horror. So, like, that is enough for me to be like, oh, this is interesting and I want to read more.
Yeah, it really is very, like, all those weird, like, dreams that you had that you couldn't have done. Like, I think of the just being able to take those tiny seeds of teenage life and being like, this is a problem I have. How will I solve it? The usual way or with murder or with this scary book? And usually they pick murder, which I like, which I prefer. Yeah. I actually wish that I was bringing up more constructive criticism. So I appreciate the constructive criticism because mostly I was just like, stabby, stabby, and it's great. There's a stabby, stabby in it. I like all the stabby, stabby.
Can we also talk about her, like, alternate life to the stabby, stabby is I become a farmer.
Oh, yeah, that's
right.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Is she the one who wants to have, like, the little sweet
life?
Yeah,
when she's,
no,
like,
that's not what she, like, wants to have. It's what would have happened, she says.
It's like when she's, it happens twice. There's, like, when she's deciding if she wants to sign her name in the Book of Satan, and then, like, also when she's, like, trying to, like, save Harvey from the witches, she, like, envisions this other life where she, like, has, like, three kids, and they, like, have, like, a farm.
It looks atrocious.
Yeah, it looked terrible.
So it was, like, awful. Is this supposed to be, like, the carrot and stick? Because right now you're just like, this is terrible, and this is really boring and terrible.
Yeah.
She was, like, pregnant on a farm, and I was like, ugh. Oh, dreams.
Yeah, right. Just milking cows while you're 9 months pregnant. I'm sure this is awesome.
Yeah.
And, like, watching all the babies.
All the babies.
You would go from being super evil, like, to just pleasantly parenting babies, really?
Yeah, they had, like, a bunch of kids, and it was weird.
Well, I also wouldn't say she's evil. Maybe she's lawful evil.
I think
she's more true neutral.
I think she fits with kind of what you're saying. She's not that interesting yet. She's evil because it's what her family does, and you don't really get the impression she's torn, but you don't see it a ton. Like, she's kind of like, maybe I won't use this magic spell, but I always got the impression that she was in it. Like, she was ready to be evil, she was ready to sign her name in the book, and maybe Harvey kind of made her rethink it, but, like, she's not gonna magically, it would have annoyed me if she picked Harvey.
God, it would have been super annoying.
And I think the book never would have done that, because clearly the point was supposed to be, like, it showed the, like, here's this pretty perfect dream life, but nah, that's not what we're doing here.
Yeah, no. It was like, it was basically like the other dream life was just like her and, like, Harvey and two kids, and, like, that was like suburban housewife.
It confuses me because it makes me realize I don't know anything about Sabrina. Would she, it doesn't seem like she would enjoy that, so why is she dreaming about it? But, like, basically the character development they've done so far has made it seem like, you know, she likes some basic things, but she likes the world she's in, even if it's really dark and creepy.
Yeah.
So, like, to have her suddenly being like, you know what might be nice? Sunshine and puppies and a farm and babies. And I was just like, what the shit? Like, where did it come from?
Her spare time shows her, like, traveling across the country to hang out with movie stars.
Why?
Yeah.
Because they're also part of a coven.
Yeah.
They're also witches.
Oh, yeah. Everyone in this. I forgot everyone in this. Like, and they all the people you've heard of. And, like,
they just ignore it. They're just like, oh, yeah, this is a two panels that happens, see ya. Like, what the fuck?
Like, there's a lot of offhand stuff like that. I think it's supposed to be, like, it felt like fan service the way that, like, anime did it before. It was all about, like, gratuitous sex and violence. Fan service the way they're like, this one's for you people who get the reference. But, like, a lot of it didn't feel like it wasn't for the story, and it didn't feel like if you got the reference, it was just sort of throwaway, and you went, what? But I think it was really for, like, I bet if you were a huge Archie fan or you were a huge Sabrina fan, this would be an awesome book for you. My cousin Ashley, who I also recommended this book to, watched all of Sabrina and liked Sabrina because it was part of her childhood. So, like, the comic book, just loved it. She loved the crap out of it. But maybe that's because a lot of it is, like, for people who are already kind of fans.
Yeah, maybe. I think there's, like, enough on-ramping and enough, like, cultural knowledge of Sabrina that you could still enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to have watched Sabrina. And honestly, I would say just for, like, your life in general, don't bother watching Sabrina.
No, don't. Don't.
Use your time to do something else.
Something productive.
I mean,
enjoyable.
Go outside.
It is worthwhile to watch compilation videos of Salem because he is sassy as fuck.
He's, like, easily the best part of that TV show.
He's a good character.
Just gifs of him laughing maniacally.
Yes. Oh, he's the best part of that TV show. The best part. And it is very disappointing that did not get well translated into the comic book.
It's funny how mean I'm being to it now that I'm an adult, because I remember not terribly long ago watching the Sabrina the Teenage Witch, like, movie earnestly and just loving it. Just enjoying it.
Oh, my God. I don't even know. Do you have anything you'd like to talk about other than this,
Nicole? I always just want to talk about my favorite part.
Okay, talk about
But I don't know
part?
If we're eventually going to get
it.
To the Harvey murder scene.
Oh, go. No, go
it's
for it.
It's just my favorite thing. So, I mean, we kind of already talked about it a little bit, but that's the point where I decided, like, this book's for me because the narration of it was so good. It really was. It's everything I wanted. The
It was
text.
Probably the sharpest point of that book.
Yes.
Like, everything snapped together.
It was clearly, like, a plot point that was progressing forward. Things were happening. A story was being told. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's what I wanted when I picked up this book and I saw the cover and it has this, like, spoopy writing on the outside that's like, Sabrina, chilling adventures. And it makes you think it's going to be, like, it almost looks like campfire tales. Like, it's going to be horror stories. And this felt the most like a campfire tale. They were like, they're in the woods and Harvey's watching. Ooh, but if you were ever a praying person, that was my favorite. If you're ever a praying person, pray for Harvey Kinkle tonight.
Yeah.
And that was when I still wasn't convinced they were going to kill him. I was like, because it had been not boring up till then, but, like, it hadn't been that bad.
Yeah.
And he was a person they were talking about a ton. So I didn't think they'd kill him, and then they did, and it was perfect because there's basically, like, they use the comic panels really well to, like, create suspense. So there's a page that ends, you're not sure if they're gonna murder him, and then you flip the page and he's so dead. Like, I think he kissed one of the witches thinking it was Sabrina, and then it shows them, like, levitating all the witches around him in, like, a creepy circle, and he's just got, like, all his innards ripped out and they are just straight eating him. And there's the part at the end, just in little parentheses, the only thing I think on that page that's just, are you praying yet? Oh, that's when I was like, yes, scary stories. That was my favorite bit because, yeah, you said it best. It was really tight and well kept together, and it had a start and end.
Yep.
Denouement.
Yep. It's like they had been kind of building up to it too, because a lot of, like, different kind of smaller plot points came together and funneled into making that happen. Harvey basically, like, accidentally witnesses Sabrina's, like, coming of age ceremony where she's, like, about to write her name in Satan's book and become, like, a full-on witch. And then he's like, Sabrina, what are you doing? Which is, like, the stupidest thing in the world. Like, there's literally the devil.
There's a lot of very good horror movie tropes too, of just, like, people doing stupid shit and getting killed, and
you're like, no.
You were kind of like, you went into the woods at night to her, like, Satan ceremony. You didn't have a plan.
Yeah.
He didn't have a plan. He literally just went there to spy.
Yeah, because
then he died.
Someone told him, like, Sabrina maybe went to the woods to meet other boys, which is, like,
she's
so
surrounded
stupid.
By women and a devil. Like, obviously, what they said isn't true.
Yeah, so
also,
get the fuck out.
Bad relationship connotations if you're going to follow your girlfriend into the woods to see if she's doing it with other guys. Also, in the woods.
Yeah, like,
but, like, still, it's all bad. There's nothing about it that's good.
Was she gonna get fucked by the devil?
I
think she was just gonna write her name in his book.
Why did she have
strong
to be a virgin?
Strong questions. Because so this is where I think you really see Rose, like, some of the, like, Rosemary's Baby influences, both in, like, the devil ceremony and then also the coven, because Rosemary's Baby is also, like, a coven of, like, it's, like, a coven of Satanists.
Yeah.
But it has men and women, and, like, typically you see, like, female covens. And so Sabrina, I think, is a departure because you have guy witches,
Warlocks.
Warlocks, I'm sorry.
God. Dude witches. He's a dude witch.
Dude witch. A dude witch. But in Rosemary's Baby, like, devil rapes her. Yeah. And, like, so...
That's how the baby, right?
Yeah, that's how the baby happens. So,
She's wearing all white here.
Yep.
Covered in blood.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's definite first time.
Devil aphrodisiac, yeah. Let's be honest.
Yeah, and there's also, like, first time connotations, virgins having sex. Like.
Well, they make a big point that, like, she has to be a virgin. That's bumming Harvey out, that they can't have sex.
Which is weird, because you'd think he'd be all into that whole sin thing.
Yeah, but she won't have sex with him, right? I think he's bummed because he can't have sex.
Yeah. No, I mean, like
the
Satan.
Devil, yeah.
Oh.
But that's why I think that they were going to have sex, like, because he's got to have her for the first time. Like, married to the devil sort of thing, you know?
I wonder if it had been an adult. This is what I wanted to ask. Is Sandman an adult graphic novel?
Yeah.
I wonder if this would have been better if it had been an adult graphic novel and they'd been able to get, like, I would not have been interested in, like, any kind of gross sexual assault scene, but, like, at least been able to get into the darker stuff like that. Like, maybe they just were implying it because they couldn't quite say it. Maybe in an adult book they would have just come right out and already talked about it.
Yeah. I think there was,
Sabrina, the Teenage Witch by HBO.
Oh. Ready. So much blood, so much sex.
Oh my God, who would play Sabrina?
I have no idea.
Anna
so
Paquin, what's she doing now?
I mean, she's not 16.
I'm kidding.
She's also not about 16. Anna Paquin.
I just remember that she was in True Blood, so that's why. Anna Paquin.
Yeah, actually, she's Rogue in the X-Men movies.
Ugh.
What's her name? I'm trying to think. There's the
Who would play Sabrina? Is that what we're still trying to decide? Who would play Sabrina
because she has to be, like, young enough but old enough at the same time.
Elle Fanning.
I'm going with Dakota Fanning's little sister, Elle. Oh,
okay. You know what? I think I would like it because she looks so sweet and angelic. I would like to see her be murdery.
Yeah.
I would definitely like to see her be murdery.
It would be.
Look, she's wearing a red dress, is meant to be, and her hair wouldn't even have to be dyed that much
because
it's basically transparent.
Yeah, and it's just... And she's got the acting chops. We've already known.
Elle Fanning.
So then. White. Let's do it.
Harvey, I'm looking at a picture right now where her, like, eye makeup's running, and she's like, Harvey, why did you leave me?
It's perfect.
Why?
So Elle Fanning running through the woods.
But one of the things this also made me think about, with, like, the kind of, like, influence of Rosemary's Baby as, like, a structure for the witches' coven was, like, how kind of, like, male skewed you can tell the, like, portrayal of witches is. Like, mm-hmm. It's very sexual. And it's, like, a decidedly evil thing. And I feel like in most portrayals of witches that are written by women, there tends to be more, like, sympathy, and it tends to be more about, like, sisterhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in this, like, when you see them in their true form, they're all naked.
Yeah, they're all naked and also gross.
Yeah. Like, skull-faced zombie things.
Yeah, so I feel like this is, like, a really good example of, like, how the whole, like, witches as, like, a force of evil gets, like, started in culture, where, like, it's, like, dudes being afraid of, like, sexually liberated women and being uncomfortable with it.
They're not sexually liberated. They have to be a virgin until the devil takes
them. Oh,
that's
right. Sexually liberated, but still controlled by a male force. My bad.
Yeah. Do you think that the characters would have been better developed if they hadn't been written by dudes? Do you think that could have been part of the problem?
So.
Maybe the reason that they're like, maybe the reason that I was like, they're doing such a great job of showing all these generic teen tropes is because all they know is the generic teen tropes. And they were like, she's probably worried about a boy.
Probably.
End of list.
Yeah. I mean, they're also going off of the source material where she was worried about a boy.
Yeah.
Yes.
That.
Yeah. It's also not.
I just would have liked
to go by
to see more, like, female influence in the way that, like, the witches were portrayed, and that may have also, like, I feel like that the relationship between Hilda and Zelda, and then also Hilda and Zelda and Sabrina as, like, a group could have been a lot stronger if you had, like, a female writing that, like, family dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of, like, glossed right over what it's like to be raised by two women instead of, like, you're like a mom and a dad.
Yeah, the only bit that they mention about her dad is that bit where I mean, obviously she knows about him, but, like, he's not coming to my birthday. And, like, that seemed to be the main tantrum that she threw. And then.
Which is about a dude also.
Yeah, that's right. So dude centric.
Yeah. So I would have really liked, like, I feel like inherently as a witch, like, there's a chance to, like, break that focus on males at, like, within the teenage, like, high school structure, and I feel like they missed that boat a little bit.
I hope they do that. I'm also currently reading Bitch Planet at the same time, which is an adult comic
that's
entirely about ladies, so I feel like I should, after reading that, I haven't finished it, but after reading that, I feel like I will have more opinions on that, because I bet that's just full of well-rounded lady characters.
God, I need to read Bitch Planet.
It's supposed to be amazing.
Yes.
I'm so like, when you, now that you guys are pointing it out, it is like extremely male dominated. Like mm-hmm. her dad, the yeah. warlock, was the head of the otherwise all female coven.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You have
everything she does is for Harvey. She's obsessed with him.
Everything mm-hmm. Madam Satan does is for her, like, for, unrequited love for her dad.
I forgot to talk about that, how Madam Satan is also controlled by like a dude.
In the end, yeah, her whole motivation is a guy. And then Ambrose that, like, is thrown in there almost to just, like, help her make decisions. Like, yeah. she can't make them on her own. Ambrose
or, like,
just
do her own research.
Yes. Yeah. Or Ambrose is there to just kind of, like, point her in a bad direction, and then she mm-hmm. goes in that direction. She doesn't spend a ton of time thinking for herself. She spends time doubting.
Yeah.
And, like, she has moments of not being sure what she wants. But it seems like, in the end, a guy decides for her, so it's fine.
Yeah. Even in, like, the judgment scene, like, obviously Aleister Crowley is going to be the head of the warlocks and witches and yeah. stuff like that. Because, like, you know, you got to go with that. But it's still like, does he have to be the one? Like, could yeah. it have been someone else? Like, could it have not been a guy?
And also with these super strong Zelda and Hilda, who clearly have strong personalities and opinions, you could at least make them like more.
Individuals.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, you could make Aleister Crowley be in charge, but that doesn't mean that like they're all underlings with no brain. Like,
yeah.
They when spend I, the book being smart.
I just also feel like you don't have to do Aleister Crowley. You can do some other lady that we've Ooh. Never heard of and like who's an awesome badass lady.
So yeah. You're making up all your own stuff.
Yeah.
Someone who was killed in the witch trials, like yep. or yeah. something like way back then.
Fiction. And there's Maybe. Like a ton of people from like Europe's history that were
oh,
killed.
Yeah.
Like tons. So
I don't. Yeah. I'm gonna actually go out on a limb and say the only like truly, like female winning scene is when Harvey quote unquote comes back from the dead
mm-hmm.
and you see his parents and they get just like and he and
oh,
I mean
yeah.
it's stupid because like the man knows correctly, he knows what's going on and he knows yeah. that we shouldn't open the door, which is stupid in that way. But the woman is just like her love,
uterus is like my son.
Well, she, the fact that, like, her love shows how strong she is, and she just murders the fuck out of her husband
yeah.
for her son, which is, like, while it's, like, while it's yeah, fun to be wrong because of, like, mm-hmm. monkey paw style and shit like that, it's still, like, it's her being strong.
It's one of the few moments where you see, like, a woman taking control and making a choice for herself that
yep.
is also not necessarily, like, centered or, like, it is partially centered around a dude because she's doing it for Harvey, but, like,
it's still motherhood.
It's motherhood. It's, like, a female-centric choice, and a lot of the other choices in this book are motivated by guys in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
Either as, like, why they're doing the thing, or it's, like, influenced by. So,
yeah,
that was disappointing to me, because
yeah.
I have a soft spot for witches, and yeah, that was disappointing.
I wonder if they picked Madam Satan for that reason, because I know that she was, like, a villain in comic books in the past. They have a little clip at the end that shows like her in a really old comic
that's like very moralistic where it's like, don't run around with loose women.
Yeah. Pretty funny. And so I wonder if they were just like looking for, because again, this weird idea of like the guys who think that their main problem is just like dudes. So maybe they were like, you know what, let's pick a villain whose main problem is like, I'm sad, a boy didn't love me.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's how she ended up in here and why it ended up so. I wonder if that was part of the picking decision, is maybe what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Also, another quick side note, she, like, worships Satan and everything, but she ended up in hell for committing suicide. It's just, like, a weird,
yeah, that
like,
was a weird,
perpetuating weird, like, Christian stereotypes of
yeah,
like
everything
that.
Was topsy-turvy, except for, like, it seemed like some parts of the world were just normal.
Except you mm-hmm. have to keep your virginity until marriage, quote-unquote.
To the devil.
So
you have to keep your virginity until marriage, though. But you still have to keep your virginity until marriage.
Yeah, and you can't commit suicide.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah, that was strange.
But
that was confusing to me as to like why she ended up in hell because she committed suicide. I was like, I feel like the devil would be cool with that.
Yeah.
Or like, I don't know, rebirth her and be like, do better this time.
Yeah.
Maybe he was mad because she didn't kill the guy. Maybe it should have just been more evil.
Maybe she just existed as a tool for a man.
Hey, that seems like the most logical answer.
I tried to do like a dramatic face and realized that wouldn't translate.
This is a podcast and no one can see you.
It was a
it's
very
okay. It was
face.
A really good face, everybody.
It was. But do. It's time for Kathy's Smut Corner.
Woo-hoo! See, I will come up with a better jingle for it than last time when it was like three dude notes.
I'm gonna say that like I will say for this book the positives is that there's a lot of smut. I have trying to decide in the outline what to talk about in Kathy's Smut Corner. I have two capital alsos because there's so many things. But we already
there
covered,
are a lot of capitals.
Yeah, they already like we already covered like is she gonna fuck Satan? We already
I
have
say
that.
Yes.
I say it was implied if this had been an adult book, they could get into it. Yes,
they were going to imply it. She was gonna fuck Satan.
Okay.
Okay, and then this next one, I just want a yes and no for you guys, and then we can pass on to the next one, and it's gonna be. Let's imagine post the satanic thing, mm-hmm. her and Harvey have sex. Is it rape? Is she a rapist because of her like original love spell?
Yep.
Basic rules of consent apply. Yep.
Awesome. I agree. Okay. And then the final one. Oh my God. This is the one I was most excited about. How is dating her dad going to go?
Because can someone remind me what happened? Because it's been the longest since I read. Oh, Kathy's ready. Okay.
Kathy's excited.
So at the end, when he comes back. Oddly enough, reincarnated as Zac Efron.
It's true. He's suddenly more handsome.
He's really hot now. And
that's
what
happens when you die and Satan gives you prettiness and then you come back.
Well, like in the span of a minute, he goes from like weird, pale, death zombie to Zac Efron. Like one panel. Suddenly Zac Efron. Don't get it. But he comes back and he's like, oh, I'm sorry. Harvey doesn't live here anymore. I'm Edward Spellman.
And
I don't know why
he's
like
mom.
So... fabulous.
I'm Edward Spellman.
He's a really dramatic, like even in the beginning, they make it seem like he's a really dramatic guy. Lots of gestures.
I was a tree for 16 years.
Yeah, you can't see me, but I'm making like wacky arm waving inflatable tube man arms because that's kind of what he does.
But yeah, so he's like, judging by this, I think we're going to get along just fine. So A, he's going to immediately rape Harvey's mom in the body of Harvey, which is fucked up.
That's real dark. Obviously, but yes.
He's just like, but then like the final thing we have is Sabrina's just like, Harvey, you're back. And he's like, I just can't wait to see you. And I'm like, are you going to fuck your daughter?
Right?
Are you going to rape your daughter in the dead body of her ex?
And also, like, she's not wearing a ton of clothes while they have this conversation. So sexuality is a little implied.
Yeah, there's definitely implications of like Sabrina like waiting by the phone like bated breath for Harvey to come back because she has like done a spell.
Yeah, she lost him in the woods and she knows he died.
She knows he died. She did a spell with Madame Satan to like make him come back to like, resurrect him.
Great idea. Couldn't possibly go wrong.
Nope.
Never read Pet Sematary or saw anything else.
And then her dad is the one that comes back instead of Harvey. But like her dad is clearly playing along with the fiction.
Yeah, that I remember.
Which is
he's his daughter's boyfriend.
Yeah. So yeah.
And how
how
did he know to call her? First of all, he's been a tree for the past 15 years.
Yeah.
Well, didn't Madame Satan? No, wait. How did he get unlocked again? Because Madame Satan went to unlock him, and then she was like, "Oh yeah, I fucking hate you," and she burned the tree he was attached to down. But like, how did he come back again? Was he just like his soul?
Remember that.
They didn't
specify.
It, yeah.
Okay. Ooh.
I feel like it has something to do with Madame Satan, though. I feel like she was probably like, "Now I get to fuck you."
In a young, hotter body.
I feel like most of them, it seems like maybe that's the like driving motive of everything in the story is like somebody's trying to fuck somebody.
Probably.
That's all it is. That's all it is.
Can we also talk about how a man has the last line in the story?
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
Hold on.
Yeah. I'm sorry, like, now that you pointed this out to me, I'm getting really upset and angry about it, which is just making me feel even
worse.
This
is why
about
we talk about it, so we can see the misogyny and get real pissed off.
Yeah.
Technically, he does. No, I'm trying to think of a way they could have done it with someone else saying something. I think they, in this case, maybe did
It does work in the dramatic thing, but
it works. But like would
just
they have
flip those panels? Just flip it.
I was gonna say, would they have considered a different way of doing it? My guess is probably not. Like this works, but not because they considered multiple options and were like, the guy works best.
I mean, it works for how it is, but it's just like, oh, come on, like. Maybe even a picture of her, like even just a frame of like a panel of her.
I like that you brought this up because I think now that I've noticed it, it was really, really obvious. And it's interesting to think because it never occurred to me that I was reading a book written by two guys about mostly women. But I'm curious how that has affected. I'm curious how different it would have been. And next time if I see a lady's name on this, I'll be really excited if they invite in like a female writer.
Yeah, I would really like them to bring a female writer in. But
just
we know
ask
how that
her
goes.
What ladies are like.
We all know how that
Ask
goes.
Ask her some basics.
Wow, he's way younger than I was expecting.
He is.
He's wearing a bow tie, too. Is this Roberto
Aguirre
Sacasa?
Yeah.
Hey, dude.
Is this his look, apparently?
He's a bow tie guy.
There's
lots
I
like the glasses.
Okay, it's the same. He's like the creator of Riverdale. So, yeah, I think a Sabrina thing might be in the...
Yeah, it mentions it on the back. Yep, Harvey Award-winning writer, Archie meets Glee. Oh, God, can you imagine that? God. Afterlife with Archie and the CW's Riverdale. There he is.
Yeah, I thought you guys realized he also wrote the Archie series.
I knew that.
Which is why he...
And Robert Hack did Doctor Who and the X-Files.
I'm just grumbling in the background, probably ruining the recording, which is not great, but... God cool. Damn it. Oh my God, look at them. What? Archie, Veronica, Jughead, and Betty.
So what you're saying is follow-up homework. We have to watch Riverdale now.
No, God, no.
Although actually, we are CW, planning to watch Rosemary's Baby, so that'll be actually fun homework.
And CW is usually pretty trashy to my tastes, but...
I haven't watched CW in a while, but it is, like, I do call it the Hot Teenager Shows, like, channel for a reason, and I do enjoy a Hot Teenager Show or two.
Is there teen sex in Riverdale? Let's see.
Googledy, googledy, Google. Let's find out.
So what book are we reading next time?
Oh, yeah, because you're the next one up, Nicole. Yeah.
Would you mind quickly Googling for me what the author of this book is, though? Because I do want to say her name. The book I want to read is called Caraval. C-A-R-A-V-A-L. C-A-R-A-V-A-L. Yep.
It's not.
C-A-R-A-V-A-L. Yeah. It's just a teen book. Came out this year. We're attempting to. I'm sorry. I meant to bring the actual book with me. Stephanie Garber? Is that the author?
I don't know. Okay, you spelled it wrong.
Stephanie Garber.
Hey, oh, did I?
Yeah, it's just how's it spelled? Caravelle.
C-A-R-A-V-A-L.
Yeah, that's what you listened wrong.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's so now that we've nailed the book introduction, we're going to be reading, what I'm going to attempt to have us read is Caravelle by, I think it's Stephanie Garber.
Yep,
I can't see. Okay,
that's
thank
Stephanie
you.
Garber.
So I don't know a ton about this book. It came out recently, and I know it's been getting a lot of good reviews, and I think I'm on page, like, 10. Okay. So far, not super impressed by the characters. It seems to be a lot
on page 10.
On page 10. You know what? Some authors can impress me that soon. It's not, like I said, I'm not into it yet, but that's what I would like us to explore together, how much we like this book, because it's getting a lot of, at least, like, people mentioning it, and I'm curious. It's fantasy, I believe, and I'm not sure if it overlaps with anything else, but there's magic, and that's all I care about. There's magic, and it seems, it's described as fantasy and romance, and, like, that's it. So I just want magic and people making out, and I'm hoping that'll be in this book.
Okay,
there's not been a lot of smut in our books. We'll see.
That's true.
I'm just going to warn you.
Oh, no.
The last time you did this, it was a surprise sad book.
It can't be a surprise sad book. It can't be.
If it is, you're on notice.
Yeah.
So
I keep picking books where people die at the end. But you know what? If I had picked Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, you wouldn't be mad at me because everybody dies in that book.
But the best
we were happy
die
when he died.
Book.
Yes, yeah. That's true. Yeah, it was real. Okay, I promise to try to never
the
pick another super duper bummer.
It was the
but
single best choice they could have made of which character to kill off. That's my opinion.
I don't know. Maybe if like Ambrose had just accidentally died at the same time, that'd be cool.
Basically, Harvey's running and Ambrose like trips and falls into a ditch and it just happens to break his neck at the same time.
And then his dumb snake familiars like choke him to death.
God, they're annoying. Yeah, they're like those Siamese cats from that one Disney movie.
I was like, seriously? This is the stupidest.
They're there
thing
to make
pick.
Stupid jokes and laugh at each other's stupid snake jokes. I hate them.
If they were comic, it would be fine. I'd love to have a shitty comic character.
There wasn't, there wasn't a lot of good comic relief. I think Ambrose was supposed to be, but he wasn't very funny.
No.
He was crap. So maybe this book needs more comic relief next time.
Yeah.
And hopefully Caravelle will have comic
they did,
relief.
I forgot to mention this earlier, but they did make these weird like nods towards feminism. They kept throwing away like the authors that people were reading, and it was like Shirley Jackson and Edith Wharton and like a lot of really great like female horror writers.
But I mean they also had In Cold Blood.
They kept referencing different book titles, but it was kind of stupid that they kept being like, yeah, she's reading this book, by the way.
Yeah, it was weird, but I was like, I appreciate the
literary
the selections.
References.
Well, the selections also. I was like, these are good picks, but like, what are you doing and why is it in here?
Yeah, I know that's a thing comics do a lot. I remember Fun Home did that a ton, where like every book actually had the title on it. You could see them in the background, and like there was always a reference to what books were affecting it. Yeah.
And I mean, like the ones they picked make sense with the story, but it just like it was a little like too obvious. Like, oh, we're making references. So I don't know.
Yeah,
anyways.
I do happen to pick books that are super popular, so they are all checked out right now. But
bummer.
It's fine. We'll find it. If only we knew where to find books. But the internet exists now, so.
We'll be fine. Okay.
So that's the one. Caravelle by Stephanie Garber. Get into it. Read it. Because I'm making you.
I'm ready.
And we'll discuss it later.
All right. Thanks for joining us. Oh, yeah.
Rate and review us on iTunes. Please, 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 please.
It helps us a lot because we don't do advertising or any of that junk.
Yeah. So. It'll be great. And then, like, if you do that, Nicole won't come to your house and stabby-stab, as she loves to do.
No stabby-stabby for you, but if you don't do that, stabby-stabby. Tomorrow.
We won't send Audrey over to make, like, awkward introduction, like, conversation. Like, are your parents still alive?
I'm really good at people. I don't know why you're making fun of me.
And I won't show up to just
make loud noises and crazy arm waves in your face.
Thanks.
That's a thing Kathy does.
It is a thing that I do. Just generally complain about life, I guess. I'll just be that depressing person.
You'll be Debbie Downer from SNL.
Yeah,
her whole job is to tell you, my doctor called and said I have GERD, but I guess it's fine.
Yeah, that's people have. Because I always think it's like great to share just like the worst stories with people.
That's how you get to know people. Those are icebreakers.
No, she shares other people's bad stories.
Oh, yeah,
Should I read it on the internet?
Did you not notice this podcast where she shared that horrifying story about me?
I did. Yes. That's okay. Didn't I tell a story once about somebody pooping themselves on the way to a date? Yeah.
Sure,
other people's. I love telling other people's crap stories.
No, but just like stuff I find out on the internet. I'm just like, did you guys know about this? Oh, and they're just like, Kathy, no.
This is how we stay in the loop with all the creepy, weird things happening
Kathy,
in the world.
Stop. Yeah, I had a job interview the other day. And they asked, like, what are three things that people would describe about you? And I just, like, went through this list of all the, like, super awkward things I have done in my life. And I was just like, you can't mention any of this.
What are words? What are any good words?
What can I do? How to person?
That's okay. While we were talking about small talk earlier, I remembered the one time that Sarah, my desk buddy, tried to practice small talk with me. Did not nail it. I can't remember why. We were having a huge conversation where I was like, I'm so bad at small talk, I'll never be able to talk to people. And she was like, just practice on me. Just what's the first thing that comes to mind? And I think the first thing was like, how's your relationship with your parents? Which is not good.
Are they still alive?
And she was
Audrey
like,
Huggett.
Okay.
Then I popped up.
Too intense, maybe something less intense. And then I stopped being human and was like, how do you feel about the weather?
That's acceptable.
Yep. And that, but not the way I asked it. It was definitely a question of like, what is weather? How is our weather?
How do you feel about it?
How do you weather?
What emotions does today elicit in you when you go outside?
And my final strike three, after which Sarah was like, we have to be done, was when I tried to think of an interesting news story, which I know people do sometimes, and I was like, oh yeah, did you hear about this lady who left her like baby in a hot car in Texas? Like, it was atrocious. And she's like, we're going to be done. You're not good at small talk.
That's me.
So that's why I decided to join a podcast.
That's why we're here together, because obviously we're on a similar caliber of sports.
So come back next week for more awkward.
Hooray.
Hooray.
And we'll see you guys later.